You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShibles, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up. We want to hear from you. Text messages and voicemails. Don't be shy. 331-979-1369. Happy Friday, Matt. Welcome back. We're leading into trying to slowly crawl our way out of this dead period of the NBA, and we appreciate everybody out there that's continued to listen to our shows. I feel like out of anybody out there doing podcasts on the NBA at this time of the year, you got to get a little bit of creative at times. And it seems like everybody that's listening to our show right now is at least enjoying the content that we're putting out in the NBA dead period. So we appreciate that and appreciate everybody that's dropping us voicemails and text messages as well. What's going on, Matt? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Jordan. Looking forward to the weekend. Hopefully, when we talk to y'all again on Monday, we're going to have some updates for you about this Bobby Portis event. Jordan and I have both been working hard. Divide and conquer when it comes to a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of emails and phone calls and people to talk to, Bobby's people, the venue, all sorts of details to iron out. But we are going to hit the ground hard promoting this, hopefully starting early next week. And we'll have ticket information for you sometime next week as well. But yeah, looking forward to the weekend. To your point about trying to come up with content in the dead of August, thankfully, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade threw us a bone, so to speak.
Yeah, I saw that. So shout out to one of our texters for bringing this to our attention, because I didn't see this before. But a little Instagram back and forth.
Oh, it went all over Twitter. It went all over Twitter this morning. It was hilarious. So yeah, to fill you in, Dwayne Wade's wife, actor Gabrielle Union, they are vacationing in Venice, Italy at the moment. And yesterday on her Instagram account, she put a picture of herself coming out of a pool, it looks like, in the background. And let's just say, well, she looks very attractive in this picture. And the picture doesn't leave a whole lot to the imagination. And let's just say that pool probably was a little chilly. So, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade's Marquette brother and former Bulls teammate, commented below this Instagram post from Gab with, in all caps, "Well, damn," with two exclamation points. Clearly impressed with what he saw. Today, Dwayne Wade fired back at Jimmy, who on a post of his own on Instagram was talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly working out on the beach with some of his buddies. And Dwayne Wade commented on Jimmy's video saying, "Put 'well damn' in caps on my wife's photo again, and you're going to see what the good, the bad, and the ugly looks like."
Wow!
And then Jimmy responds, well, that escalated quickly. Point noted. I'm still coming to the barbecue, though. Jordan, your thoughts on this exchange?
I love when NBA players do this, and they do it publicly, too. It's funny because Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler, outside of being here in Chicago, they've kind of extended that relationship, that sort of being brothers. It seems like they're more close-knit, too, than they were previously when Jimmy was here and before Dwayne Wade was here.
They were vacationing in Europe together when they found out that Jimmy got traded.
Right. So thinking about that, it seems like their relationship has extended. One quick note on Dwayne Wade, though. You realize he's still a free agent?
Mm-hmm. It seems like there's been all sorts of various reports about where he might go and what he might do. And of course, the offers coming from teams in China to go play there for a season. You know, D-Wade is huge in China from popularity and marketing and endorsement standpoint. It sounds like, you know, the reports that I would say are most likely accurate at this point are saying that if Dwayne Wade plays another season, he's going to play with the Heat. And it's just a matter of figuring out contractually some kind of agreement for Heat to have a farewell tour of some kind. I don't see him wanting to go and play in China. I mean, like, he's got kids. Like, is there, like, really an appeal there? And it's a massive contract offer for the Chinese league, but comparatively, D-Wade has so much more money than that, and his wife has so much more money than that, so it's not like he needs to do it for the money.
Yeah, I would say that would kind of tarnish his legacy in the NBA. I know it's some of these guys do this, and they go over there to make money, and they still want to ball out. But for Dwayne Wade, you don't need to do that, man. You've had such a successful career here in the NBA. Do you really need to go play in China? Like, anybody that does that, it kind of seems like those guys kind of fall off the map. And for me, I just feel like really the Miami Heat can't find a way to sign this guy to, like, the most minimal deal of all time. I mean, the Bulls are still paying this guy, like, whatever it is, $36 million that they ended up paying him, or $34 million total they ended up paying Dwayne Wade. So, like, I think the Miami Heat can find a way to give this guy a pretty solid farewell tour. And I think Miami Heat fans would be pissed off if he didn't come back and he ended up having to go play in China. And this is kind of like round two of what he did before when the Heat didn't want to pay him. So, I think...
And he can still be useful for that Heat team that's probably going to be a playoff team this season. I mean, we saw instances of him just coming off the bench and playing a really strong scoring bench role last season once he left Cleveland after that failed experiment and went back to Miami. He's still clutch Wade. His knees and his legs aren't under him the way they once were. Obviously, the dude's getting old, but he can still go get you big buckets in fourth quarters, and we saw that when he went back to Miami. So the team could use him and his skill. Speaking of Wade still being offensively a threat, defensively, everybody's been making fun of Wade for years. That was the other hilarious thing with this Jimmy and Wade back and forth, was that all sorts of people started saying on Twitter, like, oh, you know, D-Wade's about to make the All-NBA defensive team, coming to defense of his wife and, like, you know, protecting his chick, so to speak, which I thought was hilarious.
I think when it's all said and done, Dwayne Wade will come off the bench again, and he can maybe be a good mentor in Miami. He wasn't necessarily the greatest mentor here in Chicago for some of these guys. But maybe that's something that he'll consider to do, and this seems like we're it all lanes point to this is going to be Dwayne Wade's final year. So for everything that Dwayne Wade's done for the league, I feel like the Miami Heat should at least give him an opportunity to have sort of a farewell tour, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the farewell tour thing. Kobe's was basically an entire season long, and it was Kobe on a bad Lakers team having a farewell tour. If Dwayne Wade decides, all right, I'll play one more year, and it's at least on a mildly interesting Heat team that is still coached by Spo, one of the best coaches in the league, and good enough to get back to the playoffs, maybe as a seed, if not, you know, top four through eight, five through eight somewhere. I wouldn't mind it, but it's just like when the farewell tour is a full 82-game season and nothing else on that team is worth watching, like it was with Kobe, it got kind of...
We'll see. It'll be interesting for Dwayne Wade this season coming up. Same thing with Jimmy Butler. It's going to be a big year for Jimmy Butler as well, that Minnesota Timberwolves team.
Indeed. Well, okay, so before we move on, where do you... Let's say fair or foul on this. If you're Jimmy Butler, if you're looking at what Jimmy Butler did, which kind of started this whole thing, Gab Union posts this fairly salacious-looking picture on Insta, and Jimmy... knowing that this is the wife of one of his good friends, replies, well, damn, all caps, 2 exclamation points. Is what Jimmy did fair or foul from a maybe, you know, taking a peek and looking at your buddy's significant other, in this case, your buddy's
wife.
Well,
she posted it for millions of people to see, so obviously...
It would be funny if this becomes a recurring thing between them. You know what it reminded me of was when they were both members of the Chicago Bulls, there was that video during like the TV broadcast of them sitting on the bench together when the second unit was playing. And like Jimmy is looking across the court somewhere trying to like have a muted mouthing conversation with somebody. And he was like pointing at himself and then he's pointing away like, who, me, you? And then somebody, you know, took that video. It was like, you know, when you're at the club and trying to hook your buddy up with a girl or something like that.
We're going to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we're taking excessive mailbag questions. The whatever we've got left from you guys, anything from the last few days that you've guys sent it in. Remember, you can text us or drop us a voicemail at 331-979-1369. We want to hear from you, so drop us voicemails, text messages, or hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Back here on Locked On Bulls, once again, you can hit us up on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. On Facebook as well, or text and voicemail line 331-979-1369. All right, we're taking a few questions before we get out of here for the weekend. Matt, you've got a significant one that I don't think we've ever talked about on this show before from one of our texters.
Yeah, so this one comes to us from Johnny Rico. Hey guys, from Australia here, love the show. Quick pause to give a shout out to all of our listeners in Australia. Jordan and I look at our numbers to see where everybody's listening to this show. And there are a lot of you listening to this Daily Bulls podcast in Australia. So good on you. I don't know why there are so many Bulls fans in Australia, but I love that. And I love that you guys are interacting with the show. We appreciate it. So this is Johnny from Australia saying, wondering if you guys can talk about the possibility of Scottie Pippen taking over for Gar Foreman and John Paxson in the near future if things don't go to plan. I think he could do a great job in the front office and really help get some stars on this future roster. Keep up the good work, boys. Thanks for checking in, Johnny. Jordan, I'll let you take that one first. This, as you said, I don't think we've ever had this Scottie as a hypothetical front office figure convo, and it's a pretty interesting
this
one.
This is twofold for me. First, what's Scottie Pippen's resume in order to be a general manager or a vice president of basketball operations? You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're wiping the table with Paxson and Foreman, which that's a complete conversation by itself, because I still don't think that's ever going to happen, at least not in the near future. And if it does, it's one of the two, not both of them. I don't know what Scottie Pippen's resume tells us that he can be a good general manager. So our texter or our Facebook question here is, I get it. Maybe Scottie Pippen would be a good face to have a part of your organization, but he already does that for the Bulls in some capacity. Like, the Bulls have these old players that they've had on the roster that are sort of ambassadors or work within the organization, but his resume doesn't scream anything that says that he can be a successful general manager. And has there been any part of his career or anything post basketball that has screamed that he really wants to do this?
Yeah, I'm there with you, Jordan. It's a cool idea and it's a fun idea, and certainly there have been lots of players that are long retired, and whether they're Hall of Famers or not, that go on to, if not coach, play and serve roles in various front offices. Heck, our current head coach Fred Hoiberg dabbled in doing some front office work in the NBA for a while before going to Iowa State. The official title for Scottie within the organization right now is Special Advisor to the President and COO, Michael Reinsdorf. The same title held by both Tony Kukoc and Horace Grant, two of Scottie's former teammates. And it's essentially a glorified figurehead position of, they are, as you kind of said and alluded to, formal faces for the franchise. If there are public events where you need to send a Bull, and to send a Bull who is still adored and popular not only in Chicago but across the country, you send one of these people who is an ambassador for the organization. But to your point, Scottie has no experience running a basketball team when it comes to scouting, when it comes to managerial decisions, when it comes to player personnel decisions. That is not on his resume anywhere. So, I mean, as Other than, like, the one thing that Johnny also brings up at the tail end of his question is, like, do you think Scotty taking a front office position would help get big name, you know, star free agents to come to Chicago more so than getting, you know, than Gar and Paxton sitting in those seats? And my answer is maybe a little bit, if only because the perception around the league right now, and especially with Jimmy Butler's trainer, Travelle Gaines, kind of going off at the mouth when Jimmy was traded, and all these things that have been said negatively about this Bulls front office, and that anytime a new ranking of most you know, most effective and most successful front offices in the NBA comes out, the Bulls are somewhere near the bottom. Other than Gar and Paxson not being there, like, Scotty being there maybe increases that, you know, the big name free agent star allure a little bit more, and only partly because it's Scotty and partly because it's just not Gar and Paxson.
Yeah, and the whole conversation just goes back to whether or not you think it's likely that either one of those guys gets replaced. To me, I'm still sitting here, no matter what happens this season, still think both of those guys are going to be around. Same thing with Paxson. I think the discussions that we've had over the summer about the front office, if one of those two guys had to go, I think it would be Gar Forman first. And I don't even know if he'd be necessarily fired, but maybe reassigned within the organization. So I just, if we're going to completely wipe the front office, I'd like to see a fresh start with somebody out there that actually has a resume and actually has had some success building up young core teams and being able to have success in putting those teams into championship winning mode. So to me, I just, it goes back to the blocker. The number one question is, like, how likely is it for these guys, if things don't pan out as far as this young core goes, how likely and how soon would it be for them to look to make a change? And I'm sitting right here in August 2018, and you look at how long John Paxson has been part of the front office and part of the organization. They've gone through definitely three rebuilds. Like, you can consider this the third rebuild, and they're still hanging on to their jobs, and they're still here. So to me, I just don't see it likely until that point where we get to a point where they're going to try to make a complete wipe and a complete change of everything. I think Gar Forman and John Paxson are still going to be here.
Finish up on this mailbag item with going back to the whole Scotty bringing big name free agents aspect of the idea. As I was saying before, just like Kukoc and just like Horace Grant, Scotty is still beloved in Chicago and among Bulls fans for being a very important piece of one of the greatest dynasties in sports. Scotty will always find love in this city, and Scotty will never, if he doesn't want to, pay for a drink or pay for a meal ever anywhere in this city. He is Chicago, key to every door, VIP for life. But he doesn't necessarily carry that kind of cachet with current NBA stars. Like, he started doing the ESPN's The Jump TV show gig with Rachel Nichols over the past season, and is recurring guest on that show, and is talking with other retired guys, retired players, and has become more so buddy-buddy with them. But he's never been a retired player who makes it a point to, like, build and maintain close personal relationships with current active NBA star players. That's not really a thing that Scotty does compared to maybe other retired players that interact more on that friendship and relationship basis with current players. So, yeah, Scotty's beloved and carries a lot of weight in Chicago, but I don't necessarily think he has those kind of relationships with stars these days to pull any weight if he were in a front office position going out and trying to sign guys.
Yeah, so once we get to the point where we actually are talking about a serious consideration of change, I don't think that's something to even necessarily worry about. I know it sucks. There's a lot of fans out there that don't believe in the front office and they don't think anything's going to change until a change is made up there. But I'm trying to be as open-minded as possible about this rebuild and about the pieces that the Bulls did put together and the things that they've done since the Butler trade. And like I've told you before, and I think you can mostly agree with this same statement, is that they've done more good than they have done bad. And I think rebuilds don't take 2 years. They don't take 3 years. It's going to take a legitimate chance for this team to actually be put together, and hopefully something goes right. And the other thing, too, is you need some luck, too. The Bulls just have not been lucky. You know, you need a combination of having really skilled players, but you also need a little bit of luck on your side. And the Bulls just haven't had that in the last few years, last handful of years. And you could even extend it over the last decade. They really haven't had great luck.
I'm glad that you're touching on the points of the current front office versus what might replace them someday. And here I am stuck on the idea of Scottie Pippen. I just thought of something else that we should talk about in the should Scottie ever hold a front office position for this organization. Some young Bulls fans might not know this, and Jordan, I'm not sure if you are well informed on this, but it's and if you're not, it's largely because it's been glossed over in the years following the dynasty. Once that dynasty was bookended, two beautifully, neatly wrapped three-peats in the span of 8 years, it's like it's already in NBA lore and nobody wants to touch it or say a single damn thing, bad thing about it. And I count myself among those people. That is one of the greatest dynasties in sports, and it's so hard to ever say anything negative about it because it's already in mythology levels of NBA history. One of the things that young Bulls fans maybe don't know, and lots of Bulls fans tend to forget, is that Scottie was a pain in the ass to the front office when he was a player, talking about contract demands. When Scottie was young and thought he was underpaid, when he was emerging as a star, he was bugging and bugging and bugging and bugging that front office for more money. When things weren't really working out and he was sick of negotiating with the front office, he was demanding trades. Like, Scottie was not a clean, by-the-books, stand-up guy when it came to being a player. In that sense, he might make more sense as a player agent than as a front office person. Because the front office was sitting there when Scottie was a player saying, dude, are you sure? Like, Scottie was demanding money up front. He wanted a front-loaded, big-ass contract. And they're saying, just give us another season. We'll renegotiate. We'll give you a big, long contract over lots of seasons. But Scottie said, no, I want my money, and I want my money now. So, to me, that's just another interesting element that maybe Bulls fans don't remember, or they don't want to remember, or young Bulls fans don't know about. Scottie was a pain in the ass when it came to negotiating from a player's chair side of the negotiating table with the front office, and maybe the Reinsdorfs remember
that. The Bulls haven't had a great timeline as far as renegotiating contracts with some of their best players of recently. Jimmy Butler, remember when they were trying to sign him to an extension early on and then he took the one-year deal instead? He played on the one-year deal and bet on himself, and it costed the Bulls, around $50 or $60 million more than they thought?
Yeah, but according to Guard, both sides won.
Okay, yeah, right.
Right? Wasn't that what he said when he was asked, like, so do you, how do you feel about the fact that Jimmy bet on himself and Jimmy won? And Guard's response was like, well, we feel like we all won because Jimmy turned into an all-star and now we are paying him twice as much.
But yeah, I would say we probably won't pick this conversation up unless we actually hear legitimate rumors about possible replacements in that front office. And like I said before, I just don't see that anytime near in the future.
Nah, me neither. But we appreciate the question, Johnny. Definitely an interesting topic.
One last thing before we get out of here, Matt, I wanted to circle back on our conversation yesterday about Zach LaVine, overhyped players, because it's kind of timely. The Ringer dropped an article about Devin Booker this morning and talking about,
and I gave you some credit on Twitter. I did.
Talking about whether or not we actually think that he actually is going to be the star and the player that we're all hyping him up to be, and that the contract speaks for him. And the more and more I started thinking about this, Matt, after our conversation yesterday, I'm going back to the way that people hyped up Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins was a 20 plus point scorer per game. He got the max contract and just didn't really live up to that. And I don't know if that's just because he's a one-dimensional player, too. You think about his scoring, that was the main piece of his game. So I look at Andrew Wiggins, too. And now that the Suns have some other young pieces that are going to look and command the ball, talking about DeAndre Ayton, talking about Josh Jackson, who we talked about yesterday, some of these other guys are going to demand the ball, and I think it's going to take shots and production away from Devin Booker. So now the question is can Devin Booker actually be an efficient scorer? That's the real question here. And is he a guy that is willing to develop his game and not be sort of this one-dimensional player as far as offensively goes? And that's kind of the point that the Ringer was bringing up. And how does he live up to the 5-year, $158 million contract that he signed? And are we all sure that he's really going to be the star that we think he can be at 21, turning 22 years old this year? So wanted to circle back to that because it makes my point, I feel like, a little bit stronger about how people feel like maybe Zach LaVine is overhyped this season. I don't know. I have big question marks about Devin Booker, and I'm not saying he's not a good player because he is a good player, but is he a superstar? Is he worth a max contract?
It's fair, and no, of course he's not a superstar, but clearly Phoenix saw potential in him and said, okay, we can't let this kid go because right now he looks like the closest thing to an up-and-coming superstar that we have or have had in quite some time. That Suns team has been languishing in irrelevance for a long, long time now. The post-Nash Stoudemire years have not been kind. It makes sense. Like, that is kind of in a similar way what Bulls fans and what the Bulls front office is hoping for with LaVine, which is not quite as insane when you're talking about amounts of money and $150 million. LaVine, it's 78 and change, but they're not paying that guy because of what he did last season and because of the star he is right now. They are paying out that contract in the hope and expectation that this turns into one of the most talented young players in the league, especially on the offensive end, and we want to keep him in our organization. So, again, like it's an interesting parallel to make between Booker and LaVine and who's properly hyped and who's overhyped and who's underhyped. And that Ringer article was enlightening and brought up some very valid points about Booker needing to be more efficient with his scoring this season. We talked about Josh Jackson a little bit yesterday, and now you got DeAndre Ayton, who's probably going to try to get some touches working from the block and all that jazz. So, yes, it is a valid point. It's not so important that Bulls fans need to drive themselves crazy comparing the two. Like, oh my gosh, like is Zach LaVine getting disrespected and does he not deserve to be on that overhyped list because somebody like Devin Booker is on a contract twofold what LaVine's contract is, and that dude can't play a lick of defense either, and he wasn't a very efficient scorer, even if he may have been the leading scorer on a bad team. Like, I get all that. I'm just saying, like, take a chill pill, Jordan.
Zach LaVine and Devin Booker are names that I think are going to be paired together the same way that Zach LaVine and Andrew Wiggins were paired together, okay, as far as comparison goes.
Let's say this, though. Let's say this real quick. Who do you think has the potential, before they turn 30, to turn into a legit superstar player? Booker or LaVine? Tough question and answer, right? And you want to say LaVine, but you're not really sure that you confidently can?
Yeah, and I feel like it's unfair to evaluate LaVine over 25 games last season, too.
Oh, absolutely. But looking at his full body of work, thus, you know, and he's been in the league for a handful of years now.
Well, both guys will be...
And he's 2 years older than Devin Booker.
Both guys will be free agents right around the same age. Devin Booker signing that contract, he'll be 26 or 27 when he's a free agent again. Zach LaVine, same thing. Zach LaVine, 4 years, he'll be 27, 28 by the time he's a free agent again. I think that's two different questions, whether or not I believe Devin Booker is going to be the better player than Zach LaVine or who has the better value. So I think Devin Booker probably right now, as it stands right now, is probably going to be the better player. But in terms of who has the better value, I think Zach LaVine, should he stay healthy, should he be a borderline all-star, probably has the better
Bulls
value.
Bulls fans better hope that the answer is, yeah, Zach LaVine has the better value, because you know the numbers on each of their contracts. And so if LaVine, on his, you know, $18 million per or whatever it is, proves to be a lesser value than the Suns paying Devin Booker all the money in the universe, That's a bad sign for the Bulls rebuild moving forward.
It's very true. And that's why I say that Zach LaVine and Devin Booker might be more closely aligned as far as talking about stars. Both play the same position. Back-to-back years, 2014, Zach LaVine was taken 13th overall. 2015, Devin Booker was taken 13th overall. So I think Devin Booker got way more hype in college than Zach LaVine did coming out of UCLA. Devin Booker coming out of Kentucky. Devin Booker definitely got way more hype. Devin Booker has had way bigger opportunity, younger than Zach LaVine did. So I think the comparison's a little tough to make right now. I kind of want to see what he does this year. I think we can get a better understanding of both players and where they're at as far as their timeline goes this year. Zach LaVine being fully healthy, having some pieces around him as well. And really, Zach LaVine is probably our number two option if you're considering Markkanen as your number one. And him and Parker will kind of go back and forth, and that'll be something that is going to be really interesting in the first couple of months of the season to see kind of who wants to take on that number one or number two role. And you've got three guys that can do that as far as the scoring options go. So I'd like to.
We should circle back to this conversation a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So interesting. So hit us up too. 331-979-1369. Want to hear your take on it. Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, when it's all said and done, 30 years old, who might have the better career? Who might have the better value? And even if you want to go as far as free agency hits, when these guys are 27 or 28, once their contracts are up, who had the better value and who might end up being the better player? So definitely an interesting conversation. I know Zach LaVine is already tired of being compared to Andrew Wiggins a million times, so maybe this is more closely aligned to the player that these two guys can be and kind of what Phoenix Suns fans are thinking Devin Booker can be. And while there are some skeptics here in Chicago, I think there's a lot of fans that feel like Zach LaVine can get back to that all-star caliber type of player. So it'll definitely be interesting. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Wait, before we get out of here, first, I continue to forget to mention this on the show. Since we announced the Bobby Portis event, I'd like to say our listeners have no faith in me. Absolutely no faith.
Should they?
Absolutely they should. Maybe I got to get out to the bowling alley this week and make a little 30-second mixtape to show you guys that I actually can bowl.
I have no faith in you. That shouldn't come as a surprise. Clearly I'm going to be rooting for Bobby. And I am going to be removing myself from the possibility of losing and embarrassing myself by just calling play-by-play of the game between you and Bobby. You can't lose if you don't play. That's my strategy coming into this bowling event. But I did, I don't know, I can't remember if I said this on a pod, but when I went to have a meeting with the venue, King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park, after our meeting, they comped us a game of bowling, and I bowled a 170, Jordan, and I was pretty darn proud of that, because I am not usually a bowler who scores above 150 or even breaks triple digits. So if it turns out that I bowl a couple of games just for fun on this bowling with Bobby night that we're doing, and I have an average score better than yours, and you're the one who started all this trash talk, I'm going to make so much fun of you.
See, zero faith in everybody that's tweeted us already or texted in. No faith. That's unbelievable. No scouting report on me either, but everybody has no faith in me. So we'll see. We'll find out. We'll find out who the true bowling champion is. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail line's at 331-979-1369. Hit us up. We want to hear from you. All good things. If you've got anything to touch on from this week's conversations, we want to hear from you. Text messages and voicemails, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.